T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Tell your story.
Gotten to the point where I'm still having to figure out a little bit of what that routine's gonna look like, you know, because everything's gonna be different. And we just gotta embrace the fact that it's gonna be different. So the biggest thing for me is not allowing those, you know, feelings of frustration or being annoyed or whatever it may be, you know, get in the way of, you know, this, of our season, of our preparation. You know, you don't want that negative energy taken away.
Thoughts from the Braves workout today is they're getting back to work and they're getting set to go and play and try to keep the focus on trying to get back at another championship run. That's what we'd like to see from this team in this very short season that they're going to have. They worked out today at a Truist as they're getting set to restart the season, but to start the season and complete a baseball season here in the year 2020. Sam Crenshaw sitting in for John Chuckery on this Friday night until 11 o'clock. So glad that you're with me into our second hour. And, of course, you can listen to us wherever you are this holiday weekend by way of the radio.com app. We're available for your smartphones and all of your smart devices wherever you may be this holiday. My goodness, we talked a little basketball, and we're going to talk some baseball here shortly. With Corey McCartney, going to get more about the Braves and just what this team looking like, 60-man roster. Who's there, who wasn't there, and as we hear more, there are some coaches at all levels in some of the different leagues who are not comfortable with trying to participate in these. The schedule that's coming up for health reasons, and some of them will not be participating. The coaches, some of them are at the age where it's not advisable for them to do some, or at least they're given the option to continue to be involved with the team virtually if they should not be there in person. NFL, meanwhile, during this time, well, we've got some NFL talk. Obviously, players are basically kind of taking this time to this is the usual time when the players will take a break before camp starts. So it's a chance when they would usually go on vacation with the family. Those are being probably spent closer to home these days. Or they would usually go, down to the Caribbean or make some great tour and just have a great time. And just before things got serious, they're going to stay a little bit closer to home. And they're going to do that and really figure out what's going to happen once they do all show up for training camp. And we wonder what's going to happen with that. You know, if we're going to have 4 games, if we're going to have 2 games, if we're going to have no games. Now, I think a lot is going to depend on how the testing goes when the players arrive together. I think that's, you know, they may try to determine that, say, well, we're going to play this many games, but once they get there and then if there's a lot of positive tests, that might dictate how things go. So that's another thing that you throw. Yet a team does have to get prepared. If they're going to play this season and the NFL says that they are planning to start on time, and we believe that they will do their best to do that and still start on time for this upcoming season. But, of course, they got to be use some type of caution and care. I'm sure the locker rooms are going to be – everything is probably just being arranged just perfectly so for the players to come in once they get to camp and work out, do the things they need to do to prepare. But at the same time, trying to avoid this this virus that seems to continue to morph and change so much in different ways. We're seeing it. So that's a challenge also for the team. So we'll see. Understand the NFLPA is in favor, actually, of having no exhibition games. How would that affect the teams? Now, we talk about the preparation. We want to try to say who we think will be favorites to win. I think this upcoming season for football is a big toss-up at all levels, really. I think it's a big toss-up at the collegiate level. I think it'll be an even bigger toss-up at the professional level, just because of the lack of preparation time, the usual preparation time, the lack of time to evaluate newly acquired talent or young players that are stepping into roles that they haven't played in before at the college level or even at the high school level. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight as well. So I think this you don't know what you're going to get. Will it be sloppy? I think it will be to start off. And so your regular season will be like extended training. That's what it's going to resemble, I think, the first couple of 3 weeks of the regular season once they get things going. Now, but the bottom line is to get in and get the reps, get the frontline people as familiar and with each other and acclimated, and then try to see who's going to fill things in for you, for your roster and in your depth chart, your youth, your inexperienced players who are like inexperienced at the professional level, or if you're a college team, players who may have been in a backup role, now are hardly playing at all, now they're thrust into a role where they're going to have to be big-time contributors. It takes some time to gel. It takes some time to digest that and really execute things with confidence. So that is what we're going to watch to see. And meanwhile, also talking National Football League, news out of Washington is something that we're watching as well. It's for a pending name change for the Washington Redskins. And, you know, this is not the first time this has been a subject. This has been a subject years before of people who, you know, had an issue with the Redskins and whether it was a derogatory term to use. It's rich in tradition, obviously, with the National Football League. If you go to a game, I've been to one Redskins game, and, you know, the way everybody dresses for the games, they have a marching band, which now I think them and I think the Ravens are the only two marching bands. Correct me if I'm wrong, the National Football League. There could be a couple others, but they have. And so it's a special event. It really is. And people in that area are, you know, have clung to that nickname for so long for that team. But Dan Snyder, the owner now, is getting a lot of heat from sponsors, and, you know, money talks, always does. And if that's coming, if that's going to be brought to bear, then you might see some things happen. And I'm already seeing on social media some possible, you know, new names for the team if they are going to make that change. That's a lot of marketing, but understand Nike has already pulled everything with Redskins on it, you know, off their, you know, social media way that you can order equipment. And that's the thing you watch for. If things with the logo on it are going to be pulled off, that's taking money away from the team as well. And not just the team, but also from the National Football League. So, you know, Roger Goodell, sure, people want to know what he has to say about this. This is an owner's thing, and the trustees, and obviously, and the people who help operate that franchise, one of the proud franchises of the National Football League. And what will the new team name be? And I've seen a couple of teams that are set there will keep it in the same theme of being affiliated with Native Americans and call the team the Warriors. I've seen one, but one that got caught that was really neat, I think, was the Washington Red Tails. And for people who are familiar with Red Tails, the motion picture was the story of the Tuskegee Airmen. And the airplanes, the fighter planes that they flew, were known as Red Tails. And, I don't know, Dylan, I don't know what you think about that. I mentioned that to you earlier, and you thought that was, you know, one that had some possibilities. I don't know if you like the idea of that one. I think that's a catchy one. I think it would serve a purpose. And I think it would be kind of cool. I don't know when you talk about that. So that's a big talk this week as far as the National Football League. Will they do that? We, you know, in this period of change and people reevaluating stances and things that have been traditions, the fact that Lift Every Voice and Sing, the NFL is looking to, have that be performed week one at all NFL stadiums. That's known as the Black National Anthem, that if you attend an HBCU sporting event, you will normally hear that before you hear the Star Spangled Banner at the start of a sporting event. But that's something that the National Football League is looking to do, and that's what a lot of talk has been about that. And so we will watch to see how those things happen. Dylan Matthews is behind the glass, and I was going to ask you, you've had a chance to evaluate, and you got some strong thoughts about this. What did you think about the you think you're going to see a name change in Washington? You think they're going to get that done?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely going to be a name change in Washington. I mean, like you said, Dan Snyder is now getting hit where it hurts in his pockets, and that is how we bring about change. You hit the owners where it hurts. That's how we see change the fastest, and we're going to see change now. We've already seen a statement come out from the Redskins today talking about, how Ron Rivera, Dan Snyder, all of them are going to get together and, take a look at the name and, look to see if they can make any changes. And Ron Rivera said it himself in the statement, this is something that is near and dear to him, he is in that he's in that minority. So it's going to be interesting to see how quickly this change comes about now that, Nike, FedEx, obviously, have Nike's pulled all their Redskins gear. FedEx has asked, formally asked them to change the name. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I really find it comical. I forget what year it was, but Dan Snyder, told somebody, you can quote me, in saying in all caps that the name will never be changed. And wow. Now we're getting a little bit different tone now that, that money is talking, like you said.
It's a little different. That is a little different when you go and talk about you're messing with the proceeds. Yes. And so we'll see what happens. I think FedEx has also mentioned that they'd like to see them make an effort to make a change. Of course, they've been affiliated with the name on the stadium for many years. So that's, hey, you will watch to see what happens with that in our nation's capital, and see if that change happens. If it happens this season, or if it happens going into next season, or. But that's an awful lot of and what it would do would make a run on all of the paraphernalia and all the gear that's out there right now with Redskins on it. People would be rushing out to buy it all up if they can't. That's going to be changing and going away. So we'll see what happens even with that.
Yeah, if he was really smart, he would go ahead and change it, get those new uniforms out, get that new gear out, and he could flip that money right back.
It's true. If you think about it that way. People would be going to get it. So we talked about unique autographed items. You want to get something like that and something autographed by a player, a current player who played as the team was Redskins. And I'm not telling you what to do. Something that there'll be a keepsake. You could have went with a decrease in value over the years. But that's something we talk about as we have been talking about autographed items and unique autographed items tonight. That's something else we talk about. We started doing this really in honor of the King, Richard Petty's, who is also a big Washington Redskins fan, by the way. He's turned 83 years old today, and his autograph is, to me, is the most distinct and awesome autograph in all of sports. And, Dylan, we talked about autographs, how some of these guys, when they write their names, it looks like something you get from the doctor's office. You ever go and get a prescription and the doctor scribbles something that, how do the people know what the heck that is? You're going to give me the wrong thing.
These signatures are so crazy out here. Like, it's funny that they even accept it. It looks like scribble scrabble. Like I told you earlier, it's two circles and a dot. And I mean, anybody could draw that. That could be anybody's signature.
So a lot of them you really can't tell. We talk about Richard Petty because of him being his 83rd birthday and the fact that he had to learn how to draw his name. He wouldn't just write, because at the height of his popularity in the 60s and the early 70s, he was signing so many autographs, he never wanted to turn anybody down who wanted his autograph. And so he'd stay at the racetrack for hours after race is over. He's signing autographs for people that said, look, you got to save your wrists and your hand and whatnot for driving this car. You can't wear out your wrist signing autographs. And so he went to like a technical college, I believe, to learn how to draw his name. And when he writes his name now, gives you us his autograph, it doesn't break his wrist. He draws it. And if you Google and look up Richard Petty's autograph, it is a sight to behold. So to me, his autograph is the king of all pro sports autographs that you could get if you would get him to sign one for you, because it's artwork. He takes that much time to do it if you stop and you ask him for an autograph, and that's what he's done. And that's what's made him remain so popular down through the years. So tonight we're looking, what's your most unique? And I got a couple of people who've text me, really, I've gone on my Facebook page and have listed their unique autograph item. And you can join in, too, if you want to join the conversation at 404-741-0929. Text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. If you want to hit me up on my social media, I'm on Twitter at SamCrenshaw23. What's the most unique thing? I've showed you what I think is the most unique autograph item I have. What about you? Okay, Braves are on the field today. Corey McCartney is going to bring us up to date on what they look like and what he thinks is going to happen next with this baseball team as they get set to play that 60-game season. He is on the way next on this Friday night. Sam Crenshaw sitting in for John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're coming through by way of the radio.com app, available on all your smartphones and smart devices. Stay with us. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. I'm sitting in for John Chuckery on this Friday night. And yes, folks, the boys of summer, waiting until summer to get back on the field, but better late than never, huh? They're practicing, getting ready for a 60-game season. Our Atlanta Braves on the field working out today, and a man who keeps an eye on all things Braves and all things baseball. Because he's that kind of guy. He's all over the place. Talking Chop, joining us right now, Corey McCartney. Corey, how you doing?
Hey, great, Sam. How you doing?
Fantastic. Great to hear your voice. Been a minute, man. How have you and family been doing with the virus and how you guys been dealing with waiting for this time to come?
Hey, we're all, Sam. Everyone's healthy. I appreciate it. You know, just like everyone else, just was waiting out this back and forth between the union and baseball to get things going, and it's gotten here the first day of summer camp. But no ghost stories around the campfire, no s'mores. It's baseball's version of summer camp. Anything but what we used to have when we were kids.
Wow! And I'm hearing in your voice. Do I detect a bit of frustration in your voice about how this whole thing is going? You know what? You sounded like everybody else, man. You really are. Thoughts about that, and how are the fans really going to be? Are you sure we want to see baseball? But my goodness, the process of getting here, it just left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right there. And certainly this back and forth, when you think about, you know, the collective bargaining agreement ending December 2021, we're going to be right back in the same place with these two sides trying to to have a conversation that seems like neither side really wants to have. I really wish they would have got it sorted out where we could have had that expanded postseason. I think just the fact that you're seeing 60 games means someone who's really good is not going to be playing for a championship this year. But obviously they're back, and we're going to see baseball, but it's going to feel like an NFL sprint to the finish line and not that marathon that we're used to. So if you're a baseball fan who says, I like the sport, but the season's way too long, well, unfortunately for you, 2020's got you covered, but I think for the rest of us, it's just going to feel a lot different.
It will. Joining us on the waitfor.com hotline, Corey McCartney, Talking Chop, always keeping an eye on things with the Braves. Okay, today they're on the field. You heard from some people afterwards. A lot of people watching Cole Hamels today, and rightfully so. Some thoughts about some things that will mean that things are going well for him.
Yeah, I mean, he got, you know, you hate to say that anyone benefited from the layoff, but I think if anybody on that Braves roster did benefit from extra time off, it was Cole Hamels. I mean, remember, you know, he had the setback and, you know, obviously the offseason shoulder issue and wasn't expected to be back until late May. But now he's expected to be a full, ready to go member of this rotation. And that's just to this team's benefit. I mean, Alex Anthopoulos told us last week they were really set up to maybe go as much as 10 deep in the rotation, especially early on when they have that 30-man roster before they cut it down to 24 after 4 weeks. And, you know, having shorter stints from the starters. But Hamill's going to be you know, one of those guys that's able to give him some meaningful innings right away, and that's not something that, you know, we necessarily thought we were hearing, you know, back in February.
So that is something, a plus for the team. What about this designated hitter? Will it really work at this particular Braves team's advantage, as some people think it may?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, remember, a lot of the conversations that we were having back in the spring was, okay, what do you do at third base between Austin Riley and Johan Camargo? What do you do in the outfield where you've already stated, Anthopoulos did, that Marcelo Ozuna and Ronald Acuña Jr. are your two everyday guys, and you've got Ender Inciarte, you've got Nick Markakis, you've got Adam Duvall, and then you've got whoever doesn't win that third base battle. So this kind of alleviates some of those issues. Now, if you want to go and play righty-lefty matchups, if you just want to make sure that your best bats stay in the lineup, this really, I think, in a lot of ways is going to free Brian Snicker up to kind of approach things from a different perspective. And I'm going to say it right now, I don't think it's going anywhere. I think this is something that the players' union wants. It ultimately means more high-dollar players earning high dollars as opposed to another arm and a bullpen. So I think it's going to be here to stay, and I think the Braves are going to be pretty well-suited to handle the designated hitter in 2020.
Well, he's working with Talking Chop. He's also an author of the Braves, Tales from the Dugout with the Atlanta Braves. It's Corey McCartney. You can follow him. He is social. He is on Twitter at Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase. Now, Corey, that said, a 60-game schedule, and it's going to be basically regional. Talk about the matchups that we're going to get in American League. For a time, we thought they were going to have another configuration where it'd be the teams in the Central, but now it seems like just in the East. Thoughts about those matchups and how the Braves would match up with those particular teams from the other side?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you think about, you know, of those 60 games, 40 of them are coming against the Marlins, Mets, Nationals, and Phillies. And I'm, you know, not advocating anybody going out and putting money down on anything, but when you look at the Vegas projections, you know, teams at 31 or more wins, they have the Nationals at 33.5, the Mets at 32.5, and Philly at 31.5. Atlanta and Washington both 33.5. The NL East is the only division with three teams forecasted at 32.5 wins or more. And then you take on the fact that you're going to face the American League East, and you've got the Yankees, who are slated at 38.5 for their over-under, the Rays at 33.5, the Red Sox at 31.5. This is a gauntlet. I mean, it really is. And it's hard. No other division has a worse setup than the National League East does, because of the depth of its own division and who they're taking on. So it's going to be a tough road for the Braves. And we knew the division was tough already, but you add in facing the Yankees four times and the Rays and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, who are getting better too. This is going to be a tough road.
What's about that when you talk about games and what they mean, whereas one loss could almost be like several losses in a normal season. So it ramps up the intensity. Really to go out and you know, there's not saying you take nights off anyway, but because you have so many more games, say, okay, we lose this one, we'll get them next. It's a game one of a 3-game set. It's game one of a 4-game set. This is a little bit different, and you got to really, I think, manage in a postseason style. I mean, do you do that right from the start, or how long can you play before you start managing your team the way you would late September into October?
Yeah, I think that's a really valid question. I think that's something that, you know, Brian Snicker's really going to have to take to heart here, is because you can't have, you know, if a guy has a couple bad game stretch or somebody's in a slump, I mean, you can't really afford to just let a guy work his way out of it. I mean, every game is going to matter in a different way now. So I think you're going to have to manage accordingly. And I think the fact they're talking about, you know, piggybacking starters and having a group that goes 2 or 3 innings and a group behind them that goes 2 or 3 to get you to that really stacked bullpen. I think from a pitching standpoint, I think this team's really well situated to handle that. And as you start to build up, you know, Mike Soroka and Fulton Evich and Freed Hamels, as you start to build up those guys' innings, I think you're gonna have the capabilities, because you have so many arms, to kind of almost manage early on like it's the postseason, kind of have that period where guys have built themselves up, and then let's do it all over again when October gets here.
Looking like we may start some games, and the starter may go 3 innings, and you go to your someone else, maybe your long reliever, the way we've seen postseasons be managed in recent years. You know, like you said, you have more talent, you have more arms, you want to bring them along gradually. I think it's, you know, the strategy to me is something that could be really intriguing, I think, as you watch the way things play out for this season. That's part of things that I'm really, really looking forward to with this configuration for baseball.
Yeah, and one thing I think is of interest there is that, you know, Brian Snicker's always kind of been the kind of guy who people have roles, right? You know, and I remember Jim Johnson, when he was the closer of this team, he said, you know, one thing I really like about Snit is that you have your spot, and you have your spot in the bullpen. Well, they kind of changed that the last couple of years as the Anthopoulos has come in and analytics have become more of it. And it hasn't necessarily been pushed hard on the coaching staff, but they've been kind of led in directions to say, this is what the numbers tell us. I think we saw last year some more flexibility, and now you have six different guys who have closing experience in this group: Shane Green, Luke Jackson, Mark Melancon, Chris Martin, Darren O'Day, Will Smith. That's going to allow you to, when you start thinking about trying to fit 60 games into 66 days, I mean, the innings are going to build for those bullpen arms. So I think having that depth in that area too, I mean, I think this all plays into something that's well suited for this team.
How are these guys today with the distancing and the things, you know, how close guys are to the baseball team. They used to be in close to each other, and they're kidding around and jostling around, you know, in between workouts when they're all on the field. What was that looking like?
Well, I think Dansby Swanson put it best when he said, everything that came natural to us is no longer accepted. You know, just the fact of high-fiving a guy, just, you know, hugging somebody when you haven't seen them in months, just all the things that you expect when you're, you know, in that close-knit environment of being around a baseball team. I mean, you know, Cole Hamill said you saddle up to a guy and you just talk about baseball, but all that stuff's kind of out the window right now, and it's just, you know, a very different vibe. But you know, Swanson went on to say they just have to embrace this change, and they have to kind of find a way to do it all together. So the right mindset's there, but I mean, it's going to be much different, I think, when the games themselves are happening and moments are elevated, and you know, just no spitting, no, you know, all the stuff that we kind of expect, you know, to see in a baseball game. And when a guy's in the middle of that action, how do they kind of remove themselves from that? So I think there's going to be hiccups along the way, but certainly today, just a little bit of an oddity. You know, Hamill said you're so used to having that energy when you show up to the stadium, but you've been checked so many times by the time you get to the parking lot, to the clubhouse, and all these little, you know, procedures that it kind of start to get a little bit of tired of it already.
No spitting, baseball. Who knew? And plus, what happens to the handshake with the owner, with the managers before the game when they exchange the lineup cards? What happens to that?
Well, they'll just rub elbows. You know, it's like the chicken dance. They'll just be rubbing elbows at home plate.
Either way, the countdown is on to the start of the Major League Baseball season. We finally can see it, some light at the end of the tunnel. We're finally going to get the guys out there to play. And my goodness, they're on the field practicing and preparing for it. I'm excited for it. And, you know, I'm just as frustrated as you've been, Corey, but I want to see them get out and play. I know what we have potentially with our team here. And like you said, it's going to be a challenging schedule, but I want to see if they're up to it. I mean, you know, in the last couple of years, people said, it was a fluke the first time and they weren't going to get second time, and they went and did it again. So this is just another obstacle, another challenge for this Braves team.
Yeah, and, you know, as Hamels went on to say today, I mean, people are going to wonder, are they going to play the games? Are they going to get through the entirety of the season? You know, we always hear from a baseball player, you can only control what you can control. And I think these guys right now, it's just, let's get prepared to go again. Let's eye a late July start, July 23rd, 24th, and see what happens. You know, I think we all hope that they get through the entirety of this season and that this Braves team's able to, you know, defend and win a third straight division title. They certainly have the pieces to do it, and just hope everyone stays healthy and the games can continue to be played.
Corey, been having some fun with our listeners tonight. I'm talking about unique autographed items. I don't know if you have something that's an autographed item. You, like me, you don't get a chance to get many things autographed because our credentials and our press passes don't allow us to get them, at least at the stadiums and at the fields. But anything that you've been able to collect that's a really unique autographed item in your time?
So you know, a few years ago at Fox Sports South, our show Chopcast Live, we went to winter meetings and we ran into Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell. And we did a segment with him, you know, we're kind of, you know, tossing it back to the days of Zach Morris and all this stuff. And then we got done. He was adamant that he needed to sign pictures for us. So Mr. Belding is my off-the-wall autograph item.
Wow. Things you don't expect, right? That's pretty amazing. Corey, we thank you so much for spending some time with us on this Friday night. You sharing the excitement. We share in your frustration over what it took to get to this point, but we also share your excitement as what we're about to start with this baseball season and what potentially we could get with our Atlanta Braves. We certainly want something. And the last time we saw the team has left a really nasty taste in our mouth, that game against the Cardinals. And we nothing gets that done than getting the team back on the field to get out and play. So I'm just excited about it. And thanks so much for joining us on this Friday night to give us the latest from out at the ballpark.
You got it, Sam. Thank you so much.
All right. That is Corey McCartney. And don't forget, he is social. He is on Twitter. You can follow him at Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase. And, man, all season long, he's going to be keeping you up with things that are happening with the Braves and keep an eye on the team. And so I'm looking forward to so many things with baseball. We're going to be facing the Yankees. We'll get to face the Red Sox. What happens elsewhere around the baseball? You know, I'm still saying the thing that we've been taking away from us. We haven't had a chance to boo the Astros. We haven't had a chance to boo the Astros, man. Weren't you looking forward to that? I know I was. Maybe we'll finally get out. Hope people haven't forgotten. Hope they haven't. They're going to remember that the Astros deserve to be booed often. We'll talk more about this and talk baseball. And, we're going to come back next. Dylan and I are going to talk a little bit about our baseball autographs. We got one that we share. Same person, and more of listening that we have, what your favorite unique autograph item is as we continue on this Friday night. Sam Crenshaw sitting in for John Chuckery here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, available through the radio.com app for your smartphones and all of your smart devices. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you on this Friday night. On this night before our independence is celebrated here in the United States, July 4th, and it's a holiday weekend. And some of you may have gone to work today. I doubt it. I don't know of anybody that went to work. I might be the only person in town working today, at least the night anyway. It's a Friday before the holiday, and most people will take that Friday and probably going to take the next Monday afterwards, too, just because you got nothing else better to do. And if you're working from home, I mean, you got everything, all the bases covered and whatnot. And, can take it easy a little bit during this holiday weekend. Hope it's going to be a safe one, and safe and enjoyable one for you and for family members and loved ones and friends. If you're going to be gathering at a place to be safe, hope you take 92.9 The Game along with you and join us through the radio.com app. Available through all your smartphones and all your smart devices, whatever type of device you use as a smart speaker. You can have Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on it as we get you set for the upcoming season. You just heard from Corey McCartney. He's excited and talking about baseball that's coming up next. MLS, obviously, Atlanta United plays here in about 8 days. They're going to get things started. We're going to have all the updates and all the information here for you, of course, Mike Conte, Jason Longshore, ready to call the action for Atlanta United as they resume their season we hope will end with another MLS Cup and another parade on Peachtree Street. I think that'd be really cool, another parade with a championship. We could do with that. That would, you know what, after all the stuff we're going through this year, to have a championship and have a parade for it in town, that would be, like, fantastic. So here's to hoping that one of our major league franchises get it done this year, and we get a chance to celebrate. It's been a trying year and a trying season. Just thinks, folks, we still got 6 more months of this year. It seems like the year has been 3 years long, doesn't it? But we just got that. That's what's coming up. But it was great spending some time with Corey. Hope you will follow him once again on social media as he keeps an eye on all things Major League Baseball, and especially our Atlanta Braves as they get set to play. And interesting to hear him talk about, how some of the things that are going to be in place will help some of the decision-making that the Braves front office will have to make as far as, who makes it as far as the third base spot and who makes it as far as the outfield position, because you're going to have a little bit longer roster. You're also going to have the designated hitter that's going to help, and it will help the pitching staff. It will come along and manage them a little bit different, more of a postseason style of managing. Maybe we'll do that after the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, and maybe when the roster reduces from 30 and comes down to 24, then maybe then really manage them the way you would in the second season, since it is such a short period of time. It's just 60 games. Quite a challenge in a short window of time, but let's see if our Braves can get it done. Okay, we've been talking tonight about autographs, and once again, the reason I brought this up was because it is Richard Petty's birthday. Racing's king. And his autograph is the coolest thing you could want to get. If you're ever at the racetrack or you see him anywhere, and he's not hard to pick out. He's got wears a big hat that kind of stands out wherever he goes. Hey, if you have something that's tremendous, you want to get him to autograph it. He takes the time to do it. He doesn't break his wrist. He draws that autograph for you. And so that's an amazing thing about him. Take a look at it if you want to. Go and take a look at it online, Google it, and see. It is remarkable what to get. I got a few people on my Facebook page who've weighed in some autographed items that they have. And, I mean, I told you the autograph item, not the most unique autograph item that I have. And I have some baseballs, and I'm going to get into that with Dylan here in just a minute. But one of the unique autograph items that I have, I showed a picture of, is a bottle of wine. Autographed by Michael Vick when he was quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons and was the co-owner of a restaurant here in town for a short period of time. I took a picture of it and thought I would show to everybody, and maybe some people would share. Let me see. Weldon says he's got an autographed Roland Garros program, autographed by Arthur Ashe. From the tournament, the year that Michael Chang won. That was the first time in a long time that American had won that. Willie Clark has a autographed Michael Vick jersey that he got at Falcons face-to-face back in the day at the ESPN Zone in Buckhead. Says it'll never be worn again. Doug has, I think, is amazing. He has an autographed on a sheet of paper that is with his name on it from Otis Redding. Folks, that may be the sweepstakes winner. I'm a real Otis Redding fan too, Macon, Georgia's own. So I may have to share this and show some people on my social media, but this is really impressive. It's on stationery, on Otis Redding stationery, and thanks, Doug, for showing that. Very, very unique autographed item. Not many people have that one, that is for sure. Let me see. Sheila has a tennis ball. That's a souvenir ball autographed by Serena Williams. That's cool. You're cool to have. Diane has the Holy Quran autographed by Muhammad Ali. That would be awesome to have in your collection. Just a conversation piece when people come over to visit, huh? Carolyn's got the Johnny Bench signed Hall of Fame card. Yep, that's cool. And he was working with CBS Radio. John's got autographed football. You can guess which year at University of Georgia by Coach Rick. No, Sean Marino and Matthew Stafford. So that's a very cool item to have. Stu got a visor autographed by Bubba Watson. There you go, Masters champion, Georgia alum. Mark's got pair of shoes, autographed shoes from Dikembe Mutombo. My goodness, what size are those things? a pair of the Kimmy Mutombo shoes autographed. We're just talking about unique autograph items. And James has one here, gloves, signed by Calvin Johnson from Megatron. So just what do you have that's the most unique thing that you have, you know, that's autographed? And Dylan, I'm going to call you back in here now because we both have something autographed by the same person and someone who's just a true treasure here in Atlanta. And he's my all-time favorite baseball player, of course, Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves, and the number 44. And I do have a baseball, you know, that's autographed by him. I did not get it at the ballpark because Dylan, for a number of years, he was advised not to sign anything unless it was at some type of, I guess, autograph show or convention or some type of program. I remember seeing him at Braves spring training one year when the Braves were still training in West Palm. And he was, you know, at BP batting practice, maybe standing behind the cage and just watching some of the guys hit, talking to some of the players and some of the coaches. And after they're all done and everybody goes in, instead of going toward the dugout and walking toward the foul line where a lot of fans would be and he would have to, you know, tell them no, he just walked out through the middle of the field.
That's crazy.
Out past the mound, past second base, straight center field, and out through the gate just to not have to – because, I mean, he's been told by the people who were his management team that if he signed autographs, he was giving away money. You know, people, the minute they get your autograph, they're going to go to eBay or somewhere, they're going to sell it. And so that's what he advised to do. Now, under certain circumstances, I'm sure he would autograph something. But, you know, that was it for so many times. You see him now today, if he has a moment, he will sign something for you, especially for a young person. But for a number of years, his management team told him, you're giving away money. But you have something autographed by Hank Aaron, right?
I do. I have his autobiography signed by him, and it was very well written. It was thick too. It took me a while to get through that one. You know, I got that book when I was a youngin', and you know, I wasn't quite into reading at that point in my life, so that was a tough one to get through for me. But I'm glad I read it through.
Makes you appreciate it. You appreciate it now, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. You know, it really does make you appreciate, you know, not only the athlete he was, but the person he was, and, you know, everything he had to go through, you know, not only when he got to the major leagues, but everything he went to just to get to the majors. You know, it really makes you appreciate what we had in him in Atlanta. And, you know, it makes me proud to be a Braves fan, makes me proud to be from Atlanta and be able to, you know, cheer for, you know, a team that had, you know, Hammer and Hank on the team.
Obviously, man. I enjoyed. Can say I went to the old ballpark many times growing up to watch him play, and just to see him flick the wrist and power that thing out, man, is like nobody else. And when he hit it, you knew it. I mean, that was the thing. When he would hit home runs, you could hear it echo throughout the ballpark. Just a tremendous athlete, and it's the numbers that he've accumulated. His all of his offensive numbers are just mind-boggling when you look at what he accomplished on the field, not just in home runs, but the total bases and RBIs and hits, the things that he was able to do. So it's amazing what he has to do. We got your boy Reed also said he has something unique, has a signed Franco Harris jersey. So shout out to Reed for that. That's pretty cool. You know, I ran into him one night at a Hawks game. I don't know why he was at a Hawks game. He's Franco Harris. You know, big time Pittsburgh, right? He's here in Atlanta at a Hawks. I mean, he can go to a Hawks game. He's Franco Harris. He can go wherever he wants to, right? But he was like, what's Franco Harris doing here at a Hawks game? But he can, you know, maybe he was just in town and decided he wanted to come check out some basketball. And there he was. So Reed has the jersey of one of the all-time greats, Franco Harris. What is your most unique autograph item? Share with us tonight, 404-741-0929. We can talk about it. Who knows what you may have. I've showed you what one of my unique items, I think one of the most unique conversation pieces. And that article could start conversations anytime. And I have it posted on my social media at Sam Crenshaw 23. Go there and take a look at it, or it's on my Facebook page as well to talk about conversation. But talk about conversations. We got one coming up with somebody. You know, we tried to have this guy last night, and we got, you know, mixed up on which day. I thought I reminded him it was last night, but he said it was tonight. And so, you know what? We're going to let him come on tonight, you know. And he's a friend, someone that I've known for many, many years. And, man, he's been kind of just, you know, kind of, you know, standing still because this thing is college football and college basketball. And he hasn't been able to do any of those things since the virus shut things down, you know, back in March. So we're going to get a chance to catch up with him and get some thoughts from him about what's going on as far as the season goes and talk with him about those things and more as we continue. And in the 10 o'clock hour, Adam Alexander is going to join us. Big news in NASCAR today, a 7-time NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson testing positive for COVID-19, will not be driving this weekend at the Brickyard. You don't want to miss Adam Alexander coming up at 10 o'clock. But up next, one of those great voices of March Madness, in college football, college basketball. Gus Johnson from Fox Sports is coming up. We continue going into the 9 o'clock hour on this Friday night. Sam Crenshaw sitting in for John Checkery here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, brought to you through the radio.com app for all of your smartphones and your smart devices. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.